Brian, for your special this morning. Thank you again for being here, being a part of our service. I'm glad that you have come today. If you have your Bibles, turn again to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17. We're going to kind of pick up where we left off last week. Last week, we began to look at a statement that was made by David, the great king of Israel, as he was there with his army, his brothers, and his army, and the army of Israel. They were in a battle with the Philistines. This is a familiar text of where David killed Goliath. That's not our primary focus of these two sermons, but yet we're going to incorporate a lot of that into it as well, because that's what the whole chapter is about. But we looked last week at verse 29. Look in verse 29. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 29. David has been sent by his father to check on his brothers in the army and to see how things were going and to take them some provisions. And so David has left the flocks where he kept his dad's sheep, and he's gone there to where the battle was going on, and he checked on his brothers, took the provisions and such as all that. He heard the defying cry of Goliath. Goliath was that literal giant. He was about 9.5 feet tall, and just abnormally huge. And he came out twice a day to defy God, to defy the army of Israel, to defy the king of Israel, to defy the nation. And he would issue a challenge, simple enough. Send your best man out here. He and I will fight. If he wins, we'll be your slaves. If I win, you'll be our slaves. And the army of Israel was scared to death. They were literally frightened beyond, because they didn't have anyone that could meet that challenge. They didn't have any one soldier that could go out there and defeat this giant. They just weren't physically capable of doing that, and It seemed as if it was an insurmountable battle before them. David comes along. David is probably a mid to late teens at this time, just a typical average Hebrew kid. He knew about taking care of sheep. He was a shepherd for his dad. And he heard the defying challenge of Goliath. Send a man to fight. Just me and him. David's response was, somebody needs to do something about this. His response was, why don't we do something? His brothers got angry with him. The others got angry with him. What are you doing here? You've just come to see the battle. You've just come to see what's going on and such as that. And so in verse 29, David responds to that. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Now that's a rhetorical question that I think was used to stress that most definitely something needs to be done, because there is a cause here. There is a cause, and it is the defiance of our God and our nation and our people. There is a cause here, because if we are defeated, we become the slaves of the Philistines. There is a cause here, because we need to stand for what's right. Folk, I reiterate this morning, for children of God today, for Christianity, the true Christians of today, true New Testament churches of today, for us in this congregation this morning, folk, there is a cause. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father God, Lord God, rebuke Satan this morning and clear our hearts and our minds. Lord, grant me preaching grace this morning, and let me present your word in a way that the Holy Spirit might use it and that we might see decisions made in hearts where that is needed. Lord, I thank you for each one that's here. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the cause and for the victory that we can have for that cause. And Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Is there not a cause? A cause is defined as, and I like to just kind of sum it up this way, A cause is something that's worth fighting for. A cause is something that's worth taking a stand either for or against, depending upon whatever that cause might be. Folks, today, as children of God, there are some causes that we need to stand for. We often use the terminology doing something for the cause of Christ. Folks, the cause of Christ, the cause of God, the cause of the New Testament church is worth fighting for. It's worth standing for. It's worth being heard for. There are some things that we must stand against today. And some of those are the cause of the church, that we stand against evil and sin and ungodliness that is just running rampant in our society and our world today. Folks, that's worth standing against. There are causes today that we must stand for. There are causes today that we must be heard in our stand. There are causes today that are pertinent to us today that maybe have not been in the past, and there will be different ones in the future. But folk, today we need to look at some of the causes, and we looked at some of those specifically last week, and we're not going to go through those again. But you know, the cause of Christ this morning and the cause of the truth of His Word, the teaching of His Word, it's worth a stand. What I want to concentrate on this morning is how it is that we stand. How do we fight for these causes? What is it that we can do today to be a voice that is heard for the cause of Christ? We look at this congregation this morning and, you know, we're not a big group. How can we have any effect? How can we accomplish anything? Folk, listen. When that "we" includes God, there is no limit to what we can do. All right? We may not be able to win every battle. I spoke of that last week as well. We may not be able to make the changes needed in every cause, but folk, I'm telling you what, we've got to go into the battle. We have to stand strong and we have to stand firm. We have to be heard. We have to be that voice that says, according to the Word of God and the convictions that we have in our heart, that, whatever that might be, is wrong, and we must separate ourselves from it, and we must speak loudly against it, and we must take a stand against it. We must look in the Word of God, and according to the Word of God and our convictions based thereupon, we must say, this is what God wants. This is right. This is truth. This is the way of God. We must stand for that. And folk, when we do those things, sometimes it's not going to be popular. There will be many times when it will not be well received by the world, even the religious world. There will be times when it's not very well received, and we might even suffer some persecution for it. But you know what? Count yourself proud when you are worthy of persecution. Don't forget, we're told that he that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And so let us live to the place, because of the cause of Christ, that we indeed, sometimes we are ridiculed. Sometimes we are shunned. Sometimes we are mocked. Folk, listen, persecution around about the world today is very intense once again. And it has been since the very beginning, when Cain and Abel had the difference there, and because of Abel's offering being acceptable to God and Cain's not, Cain killed his brother. But folk, today we must take a stand, for there is a cause. How do we take that stand? Well, first of all, we fight for the causes, just as David did here, and for the cause of God, because they are His cause. Let's fight for it because it's God's cause. Let's fight for it because it is God's reasoning. It is God's truth. It is God's rules. It is God's doctrine. It is God's way of thinking. It is what God has for us. Let's fight for it, most of all, for that. And by saying that, what we must do is we must realize, folk, when we stand for the cause of Christ and we battle for the cause of Christ, it's God's battle. It's God's fight. He may use us to win that fight, to fight that battle, but folk, it's God's. Listen to what David said. Turn there again in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And turn to verse 37. Listen to Daniel's attitude about fighting Goliath. Before we read that, remember, David is an average-sized kid. Goliath's 9.5 feet tall. He's enormous. David had said, I'll go fight him. I'm not afraid. So he finally convinces Saul, and Saul the king says, well, if you're going to go fight him, put on my armor. David puts on the armor of Saul, and folk, in that day and time, armor was, especially the king's armor, it would have been custom made, custom fit. They put the armor of Saul on David, and it didn't fit, it wouldn't work. He didn't know how to use that stuff, he didn't know what it was for. And so he said, this won't work, and so he cast it aside. And he took with him what he had and what he used on his everyday labors keeping sheep. He didn't have all of his shepherd equipment, I'm sure, but he had his sling with him. He had his sling with him. His sling was probably a piece of leather about 6 or 8 feet long, and you doubled it. One end would have been attached to his wrist, probably, so it was stationary. And in the middle, it had a pouch. And David took that, and he took him 5 smooth stones, the scripture says. I love the way God works. David took 5, but he didn't. And when he got finished with the task, he still had 4. He took those 5 stones and put them in his pocket. And he'd take that leather, the other end of that leather strap, and he'd hold it, and he'd put that stone in that pouch, and he'd begin swinging it around his head. And when you let go of that one end, that stone would be slung out across there. He used it to chase away predators. He used it for a lot of things in his shepherding. But that's all that he had to go into battle against Goliath, who had an enormous shield, an enormous helmet, he had an enormous sword, and he was an enormous man. Now, look at this logically. It don't look too good for David, all right? Don't look so good for David. It was God's fight. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 37, David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Look down to verse 45. Then David said to the Philistine, David has now gotten down into the valley of Elah. He's looking up into the face of that old giant Goliath. And listen, he's making this God's fight. He says, then David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistine this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with a sword or in spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Well, David went into the valley of Elah with a cause. The cause was to eliminate the defying of the people of Israel and the God of Israel. He went into that valley with a cause, and that was to kill the giant Goliath, who was such a menace to the people of Israel at that particular time. He went down there with nothing more than himself, his little old sling, and God's fight, God's battle. Folk, you've heard me quote it a zillion times. Don't forget this. If God be for us, who can be against us? Folk, if God be for us, that's Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us? There are battles that are going to come up in your life and in my life on a very regular basis. Some of them are of major consequence. Some of them are of a magnitude that it looks like there's no hope, like fighting the giant Goliath. Some of those things are going to be the everyday things of life. And if we try to defeat them and we try to fight those battles by ourselves, folk, many, many times, most of the time, we will be the one that is defeated. But if we will make it God's fight and we will take it to God and say, God, you've got to help me with this. God, I need your strength. I need your grace. I need your understanding. I need your wisdom in this. We go in and we make it God's fight and God's battle. We can go in with assurance knowing that we can win that battle. Now, some may say, and please, this is not to diminish your difficulties and trials right now. Some may say, Brother Sid, you don't know what I'm going through. I may not, but God does. I may not, but God does. Brother Sid, you don't know how hard it is. I may not have been in that particular spot, but let me tell you what, and not to boast of myself, but I've been in some pretty tough spots too. But folk, let me tell you what. God will be there with you. God will help you. God will strengthen. God will protect. Read the Psalms. God will just be there for you to sustain you. You can call upon Him in your day of trouble. Folk, what we have to do is realize that when we have something that we are fighting for and it is a part of the cause of Christ, it becomes God's battle and it's not just ours. What we need to do when we are in God's fight is just make ourselves available, use the resources we have, let God use us in those resources, and let God direct and let God take us into that battle, and then we can win that battle. Now, folk, listen to me. I really, really believe that based upon the Word of God. All right? I really, really believe that based upon the Word of God. I know that God's Word is true, and I know that we can learn from the illustrations and the examples. Folks, that's why we study history. That's why we study this. That's why we preach on this morning. Folks, God don't play favorites, and He wasn't going to do something for David He won't do for you and me, whatever the battle might be. I don't know what your battle is today, but make it God's fight. Go to God and say, God, I can't do this by myself. God, I don't know how to. God, I am so whipped down and I am so perplexed. I am so discouraged. I am so frustrated. God, you've got to help me with this. Make it God's battle. Go into the valley, whatever that valley might be, whatever that battle is, whatever the cause is that you're taking a stand for, whatever the cause is you're taking a stand against, and you make it God's battle. And when you make it God's battle, then you go into that battle with great faith, knowing that God is going to go with you. We talk about faith so often. And we talk about faith so often because, folk, everything that is involved with our relationship and interaction with God is based upon faith. It's based upon faith in the Word of God because that's where we learn of God and from God. Folk, your salvation this morning is based upon faith, in the faith in the Word of God. I believe in all my heart. I don't believe you could ever talk long enough to make me not believe and change my convictions that Jesus Christ died on the cross. His blood was shed after a short 3.5 year ministry and a short life of some 33 years in this realm, that He was the Son of God, that He gave His life as an innocent, perfect sacrifice for us, and that shed blood, when we accept it by faith, will provide for us a redemption of sin and a salvation that is eternal until we go to be with the Lord, and then it's fulfilled in its completeness. I believe that. That's all based on faith. I wasn't there when they crucified Jesus. I didn't see Him. I wasn't there when the Romans, old soldiers, nailed Him to the cross. But I'm telling you, I know it happened just as sure as I know you're here this morning. Because of my faith. And because of my faith in what God has done for me personally and individually in the past, I can be like David, knowing that it's God's fight because it's God's cause, and I can look back and see what God's done for me in the past. Let that reassure me, let that encourage me, and then let us go into that battle knowing that God's never let me down in the past. Why would He hear? Listen to what David said about that again when he goes into the battle by faith. He tells us there again in some of these passages, verse 34. Let's go back and just start there. Chapter 17, verse 34. And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth, it being the sheep, delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing that he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, Saul, I'll go fighting. And he gave the illustration. He told the story of the time that the lion and the bear came into his dad's flock, took one of the lambs. He just went in there and got him. Got a hold of him and got the lamb back. The lion turned on him. He just got him by the beard, however that worked. And in some way, he just took him out right there. He said, Saul, if God did that for me back then, I promise you he'll do it for me today against that big old giant Philistine. Folks, listen to us this morning. Listen, what has God done for us in the past? What has God done for you in the past? What has God done in providing for you, in caring for you, protecting you? Folks, if we'll be humble and we'll be honest, we could sit here for days sharing the experiences of how God has been there for us, how God has gotten us through it. Folks, but we have to have faith that God will get us through this next battle just as much as he did the last one. Is there not a cause? Folks, there is a cause. It is the cause of Christ. And it's God's battle. And if we will place our faith in him, we too can go into that battle and we can win that battle and we can see victory in our life. David knew what God had done for him in the past. He knew God would do it again. If you want to start in that list of what God has done for you to pass, go back to the day where you accepted Christ as your personal Savior. That's the greatest event in your life. You go back to the past, to where God gave you eternal life because you placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And see what all he's done for you since then. Literally, physically. Folk, I can think of blessing after blessing after blessing. I can think of things that God has done for us that it's out of the ordinary. It shouldn't have happened that way, but God provided. Folk, listen, I believe God will take care of me today just like he did yesterday, and I believe God will be in tomorrow when I get there just like he did for me today. We have to have faith. David had faith that he could go into the valley there and confront old Goliath and win the battle because he had taken care of him in the past. Why would he not today? I'll go fight that Goliath. And so he did just that. I think here's my favorite part of this whole account. And folk, listen to me. I want you to get this morning, all right? Not because of me, but because of what it says here. When we confront the battle that is God's cause, whatever it might be, when you confront the battles and the difficulties and the trials that you have in life, I want you to make it God's battle. And I want you to take God with you into that battle. And I want you to allow God to work with you and work for you in that battle. I want you to put your faith and your trust and your confidence fully, wholly, and completely in God. You say, well, I don't see any way that it can possibly work out well. You know what? You may not can, but I'll bet you God can. God can. And so do that. And then when the cause is before you, and it's time for the battle to take a stand for that cause, I want you to confront that cause without hesitation, without fear and trepidation. I want you to confront that cause in faith and confidence because you know that God is with you. He is strengthening you. He is protecting you. He is watching out for you. And you go into the valley and you find that cause worth fighting for and you confront it head on. Look in your passage in the text again in verse 48. In verse 48. It says, "And it came to pass." It came to pass when the Philistine, Goliath, arose, and he came and drew nigh to meet David. Let's picture this before we read any further. The Philistines are on one side, on a hillside, and the nation of Israel is on the other, their armies. And in the midst of that, there's a valley called the Valley of Elah. And that's where this old Goliath would come every morning. He'd shout out, and he'd make fun of, and he would defy the army of Israel. He'd defy their God, and he would just, you know, he's there in the Valley of Elah, and David is going down into that valley too. And here comes the Philistine. Now, you know, I like to try to get this visual picture of. Old David's just an average-sized kid. And he's got his stone and his rock. He goes down in there, and you know, we might think it was like this. We might think that David's down there in the edge of the valley, and here comes Goliath, and he looks and he says, "Oh my goodness, that old boy's bigger than I thought he was. My goodness, I didn't realize how big that spear was. Now that I'm getting close, I don't know if this, oh my goodness." And he might begin to back up. That's not how he confronted the cause. And it came to pass when the Philistine Goliath arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Old David's coming down off of the hillside into that valley. Here comes that big old giant Goliath. And David sees him coming. Instead of backing up and having second thoughts, David begins to trot. And then David begins to run. And David gets down there into position. And David gets down there to where he's in range of that giant. He ran into that valley. He hastened. He ran to meet the enemy. Folk, listen, when it's God's battle, it's God's cause, we have our faith and our trust in God, we don't have to back up from anything or anybody. Let us run into the Valley of Elah. Let us swing that stone around our head and let it fly. And I'm telling you what, I believe God directed that stone to the one place it needed to strike. And I'm telling you, all of a sudden, that big loudmouth Goliath fell flat down on the ground. He smacked the ground, and I believe the ground shook. But David went into the battle without fear. He confronted it head on. You know, I think one of the problems that we have in our modern day is when we have a cause worth fighting for, even in the cause of Christ, we try to figure out how we might do something about that. And we kind of ease around it, and we kind of do everything we can except just confront the enemy and confront the cause. We'll try to look at that and say, well, you know, I don't know if that, you know, and I don't know if this will work. And as I always say, we usually get in the way. Folk, I'm telling you, let's be like David. Is there not a cause? Folk, there is a cause. And we, in our faith and in our confidence, knowing that it is God's cause, that makes it God's battle, we can run up to the enemy and we can look him right in the face. And whatever we've got, God can use. And we, being you, me, and God, we can defeat the enemy and see the cause stood for and victory be given. We can do that today. Let's listen. We can look the enemy today of sin that we must stand against. We can look that old enemy of apostasy within religion today that we must stand against. We can look the cause of Christ in living a righteous life, living a life that is separated and coming out from among them. We can, that's not the unclean thing, we can confront that challenge in our life. We can confront whatever God, whatever Satan sends our way with God. We can confront it and we can know that God is with us. Remember, the writer of Hebrews promised us he'd never leave us nor forsake us. God made that very same promise to Jacob over there in the book of Genesis. I'll not leave you. He made that promise to Abraham when he gave the Abrahamic covenant. He made that promise to David when he made the Davidic covenant. Folk, listen, he made that promise to us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Oh, God will be there when we are standing for the right cause, when we are fighting for what is right, when we are fighting God's battle and God's challenge. when we'll take a stand for Jesus, He'll be there with us. Now, it will not be without challenge. There was a challenge for David, but he defeated the challenge. He won the challenge. This was not the end of the problem with the Philistines, but it won the battle for the day. Oh, what's your challenge today? What is your challenge today? What is the cause that we have that is worth fighting for today? I want us to ask that question that David asked rhetorically there to his brothers. What about us? Is there not a cause? Folk, if ever there was a time in Christianity that we as Christians today need to stand for the cause of Christ, the cause of truth, the cause of the Word of God, the cause of separation from ungodliness and stand for righteousness, today is the day that we need to accept the challenge of that cause and fight for that cause and go forward for that cause and look the enemy in the eye and say, we're not going to be a part of that. We're going to live for God. We're going to fight against that. We're going to be a voice that's heard. And folk, listen, a lot of times we'll be in a minority. There's a great army of the Philistines over here. There's a great army of Israel over here. There's a great giant military man for the Philistines out here in the valley. Folk, listen. David went into that valley by himself, except for God. He was in a minority, physically and in every other way. Did these guys have his back? Not as long as Goliath's there. They're scared to death. Folk, listen. We're a small group. Sometimes we stand by ourselves. You may be at work striving to live for the Lord and live a righteous life, standing for the cause of Christ, and none of the others are. You may be by yourself, except for God. But remember this. You and God make a majority. You and God are superior in strength and understanding, strategy, in anything and everything else. David became a great military leader. But folk, it wasn't military strategy that got this battle won. It was standing for a cause, confronting that cause with God and faith in God, and just running and looking it right in the face.